Welcome to the Gifters Podcast. I'm your host, Christopher Kai. This podcast is sponsored by the GPS Online Program, which teaches you how to turn your story into a successful speaking and online coaching business. For more information, go to ChristopherKai.com.
Our guest today is Ryan Lani. He's a strategic advisor to STEM organizations, author of The Finesse Factor, and founder and managing principal of Org Leader. Ryan, welcome to our podcast today.
Thanks for having me, Christopher.
So let's dive right in. When I think STEAM, I don't think finesse. So tell me what this book called The Finesse Factor is about.
Well, where that came from is I've been working with STEM organizations probably over the last couple of decades through about 20 different industries. And what I noticed as I work with these various organizations is that they were leaders or professionals who were very good at handling tricky situations. By tricky situations, I mean those that involve uncertainty and risk. And then there were those who clearly mishandled them. And that led me to look at, okay, so what's the difference here? Why were some handling them so well? And why were some clearly making some major errors or mistakes as they try to deal with these difficult situations, whatever they may be? So that started me down the path. And as I looked at research and work that I've done with various clients and organizations over the years, I noticed this pattern. And the pattern is what I just mentioned. Some would handle it well, some didn't. Well, what was the core of that pattern? And it really related to how these leaders carried themselves, as well as understand, process, and deftly perform in these tricky situations. And action relies that because it deals with how they show up and respond in real time and points down the road. So that was really the starting point. And that description I just gave you is how I define finesse in a business environment.
Nice. It's a very unique way to look at things. And who are some examples of leaders that you feel really have this finesse as you define it?
Well, as far as like the types of leaders, they are the leaders who basically demonstrate seven essentials. And the seven essentials that I found as I worked across these various industries and companies, three of those essentials are more intrapersonal in nature. They deal with what these leaders think about and process on their own. And those are also foundational because they enable the four remaining essentials. The four remaining essentials relate to how these leaders interact with others as they handle the uncertainty and risk. And of course, because it deals with how they interact with others, those essentials are more obvious to other people. So if you want me to give you an example.
Yeah, like a leader that we all know that we might admire, but you understand why they're successful.
Oh man, there are so many of them. Let's see, leader that I admire because they're so successful. Probably a CEO, again, I can't really share the name just for confidential reasons because they are a client.
Yeah, but like, let's say Jeff Bezos, which it doesn't, you know, it's more about, I really want our listeners to be able to sink their teeth into because you shared what you do, but when you have an actual example, like, oh, wow, now I know why Jeff Bezos is so successful. And it relates to you, Ryan, and how you explain this finesse factor.
Okay. Let me just give you, I think any leader is capable of demonstrating finesse. And are they demonstrating finesse at all times? Not necessarily, but there are clearly times that they are. I mean, if you look at the people who are handling the pandemic, since we're dealing with that right now, if you look at the CEO of Pfizer in terms of, all right, well, we have this major health crisis that could be, you know, I could put profit ahead of people, but I chose not to do that. And I would say it's not just the CEO of Pfizer, but probably a number of the CEOs at those biopharma companies that we need to address this issue and we need to address it as quickly as possible. If that means we take a hit from a profit standpoint for X amount of time, we can do so. And in the case of Pfizer, the CEO said, well, we can take the $1 billion hit. Scientists, you just figure out how to get this done as quickly as you can. I'll deal with the financial implications. We're a multi-billion dollar company. So if we take a $1 billion hit, that's not going to sink us, but I will deal with that. You just get it done. So when I'm talking about finesse, it's not just using a velvet glove approach all the time. It will depend upon the situation that you're dealing with. In other cases, you may need to use more of an assertive or a steel hand approach to get things done. It's all about conveying a measured presence. Does that make sense?
Yeah, so when you say measured presence, essentially here is a CEO that recognizes the challenge that we have, Mm-hmm. The world is afraid, but he's going to just have the courage to clarify that. So this he's measuring the potential outcome and the consequences, right?
Mm-hmm. Very much so.
Interesting. So I'm curious. So you advise STEM organizations, but frankly, in the STEM world, in case people don't know, it stands for science, technology, engineering, math, mm-hmm. and everything from life comes from those four categories. So a lot of people can learn from you, but do you choose only to focus on STEM organizations, or it just seems like your skill set would be pertinent for every company in the world?
I work across a variety of industries, but it's not just limited to STEM. I focus on STEM just because I happen to be drawn to those type of organizations. I didn't set out to do that. I just found that I was working with those organizations most commonly or most often. And by STEM organization, how I would kind of clarify or define them is those that are driven, those that are more technical nature and data driven. And of course, they operate across those industries that you just mentioned, you know, whether it's, you know, healthcare, whether it's biotech, med device, whether it's software, semiconductor, autos, automotive, aerospace, banking, those are all STEM organizations. And even within any particular company, you still have STEM organizations at the departmental or functional level. R&D, IT, finance, those are all STEM organizations as well.
And what do you see as, you seem like you have a very, just a broad-based understanding because you've been into these various industries. If, let's say I talk about sales, and mm-hmm. one of the most biggest commonalities in sales is they have this certainty and clarity in that, you know what, they have this product and service that they know will help their clients. So in sales, they have to have that consistency and certainty. Now in the STEM world, are there any themes, parallels, concepts, or how people think? Like if Elon Musk talks about the first principle of physics, that's something that always applies. In your case, you've worked with so many bright individuals in the STEM field. Do you think there's a certain way that they think or approach things that are unique? I know you wrote a whole book about it, but just more like one defined strategy, skill set, or understanding of life and how they approach things.
Well, the ones who are exceptional are the ones that demonstrate the seven essentials I just mentioned. So they would be the ones that not only get results, but they get results in the right way. And by getting them in the right way, that's not just accomplishing the objective at hand. It's also enabling those around them to be successful and creating that motivating work environment. The work environment where they not only want to be, but they also want to stay.
That's a perfect way to end our show, Ryan. Talk to us about how do we help? Because most of the people listening are business owners and entrepreneurs. How can we help understand how to motivate our employees? Again, you get the money, you can have the results, but that's a great way to like end it. Meaning what's one suggestion that us as business owners can be better at leading our teams?
Well, probably the starting point would be, what are you bringing to the table? How are you engaging with them? How are you empowering them? How are you delegating to them? And that starts with understanding what are the strengths and limitations you're bringing to the table that might be helping you or might be getting in your way. And I would say the first starting point is doing a look in the mirror, whether it's doing an assessment tool or getting feedback from other people and seeing, all right, this is what I have. This is how I'm potentially coming across. How can I be better?
That's a great advice, Ryan. How can our guests connect, stay in touch with you, and read your book?
You can reach me either through my website, ryanlotti.com, or through my company, orgleader.com.
Ryan, thanks so much. Have a great day.
You do the same. Thanks, Christopher.
Thank you for listening to the Gifters Podcast. If you want to learn how to turn your story into a successful speaking and online coaching business, go to christopherkai.com to learn more.